The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said this to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Last week, we talked about the battle between Jesus, Satan, and us. We looked at Jesus' victory over Satan and his demons. That victory, extending from the cross, comes to you in baptism when you received God's name. And we live with this name in holiness daily. Today, we're going to talk about an extraordinary kind of food. From Exodus, we hear that the Israelites feared death from hunger in the wilderness. Just put yourself in their shoes. They've just been freed from Egypt. They're in the wilderness, tired, hungry, thirsty, and they're losing hope. They question why they've been brought out there just to die. Naturally, they begin complaining. How did God respond? Graciously, he gave them food. He provided quail in the evening and manna in the morning. It may not be like dining at a ritzy restaurant, but it sustains them during famine. Though it isn't much delight to the eye or tongue, it's the best food because God gives it. It's to be treasured, gathered up, and used to their fill. Not wasted, but completely devoured. They depended on God for every crumb they got. We're like the Israelites in this way, that we've both come out of slavery. But enslaved not by Pharaoh, but by sin. We've passed through the waters, but not the Red Sea. Rather, we pass through our baptismal waters. We're led into the wilderness to be tempted. Not literally going through a desert wilderness like the Israelites, but experiencing similar hardships as them. Lack, famine, hunger, thirst, hopelessness, despair, anxiety. Nonetheless, God graciously sustained them with mere bread until they reach the promised land. Likewise, we're fed with mere bread until we reach the promised land, which is heaven itself. But this feeding we receive, is it merely bread? Certainly it was for Israel, but they abused it. Sure, they were fed until they got to the land of milk and honey, but as soon as the land started providing for them, their trust in God providing for them faltered. They needed a bread not just to fill their bellies, but a bread to strengthen and sustain their faith and trust in God. But even when his children rebel, God always seeks to bring his children back into relationship with him. He seeks to restore this relationship of trust, reliance, and overall need for him. So after several hundred years of God's Israelite people rebelling, God comes down as a man in the person of Jesus to feed us. Not just with manna, but with much, much more. In the gospel lesson, Jesus feeds his father's children in the feeding of the 5,000. Now, is this story just Jesus feeding some hungry folks? Is this just any ordinary meal? According to the gospel writer, no, not really. He gives us a few clues why it's more than what meets the eye. First, in verse 5, Jesus asks the question, from where is this bread supposed to come? Jesus asks this to test Philip, which is what the text says. But what's the test? Why is it considered a test? Because Jesus wanted Philip and the other disciples to recognize that Jesus is the source of this bread. Not just ordinary bread made of wheat, but this is the bread which comes from heaven. He himself, this is the bread which comes from God himself. This is the bread which comes from Jesus' own body. Later in this chapter, John makes this explicitly clear when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Said a different way, I am the bread which sustains you. I am the bread you are to eat that gives provision and sustenance in the wilderness. Our second clue, verse 10, shows Jesus telling the disciples to have the people sit down. In English, we read sit down, but the Greek word is more literally to recline. Have the people recline, Jesus says. Now, this is the posture of a festive eating. They would lean to the side with their elbows supporting them up, and they would eat from the table in front of them. This was a way to eat when at peace with each other. No anger with anyone around the table. And this verb is used to describe how the disciples ate at the Last Supper, which was certainly no ordinary meal. The third clue. Verse 10 describes a place having much grass. But what does it matter if they were at a rocky, sandy, or a grassy place? It's a place of grass because it gives a paradise-like image. It's a place of rest, of peace, of safety, of provision. It's like how Psalm 23 puts it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And you know the rest. This sets the stage and environment for feeding which comes from the Lord. The fourth and final clue, John writes, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed, or gave, them to those who were seated. Those verbs, took, when he had given thanks, gave. Does that sound familiar? Notice also the bread is emphasized over the fish. This fish seemed to be tacked on at the end. So also the fish as much as they wanted. But the bread is emphasized because Jesus makes a connection of the bread to his body found later in the chapter. He says, whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is certainly no ordinary meal. This feast was truly something. It's the kind of feast God feeds us in the Lord's Supper. It sustains us while we journey through the wilderness temptations. And God will never forget about us and tell us, hey, good luck out there fending for yourself. Rather, he gives us himself in trialing times. In times when we're hopeless and despair and have feelings of being lonely and unloved, he sustains us with his very own body and blood, which was shed on the cross, not only to defeat Satan, but to provide, sustain, and support you in your spiritual life. It's an odd time in the church. We're trying to love our neighbor by social distancing ourselves instead of handshaking and hugging. Instead of coming together as one big church family, we come together in limited groups around this food which our Lord gives. We're trying to strive for the ideal in an imperfect world. But in this time of uncertainty, anxiety, suffering, isolation, and unpredictability for what may come next, be comforted, knowing that our Lord is providing for you through these trials. He's providing you with spiritual sustenance, the bread which comes from heaven, so that you can be assured that this imperfect world cannot shake your faith and trust in God, no matter how difficult the circumstances. He comes to you in word and sacrament to give you himself, which is the only strength we need. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.